Hi, this is Caroline Arnold, and thank you for joining me today for the third podcast at the Caroline Arnold Podcast Show. We have Laura Cleaver, who is a health and safety partner, brand leader, and contract specialist at the HSC Recruitment Network. Laura is going to be talking about her career journey so far and her role within health and safety arena, which can be at times a male-dominated industry. I'm going to have her come on and give tips that can help you be more successful in your career. So let's get right into the interview. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So Laura, can you talk us through what's been your career journey so far?
Okay, so I started off doing a particularly useless degree, I'll be honest, at Birmingham University. I studied philosophy. So obviously no real direct career paths from that unless you want to be a doctor of philosophy. So I toyed with a couple of different things. I toyed with journalism, some PA and admin work before really falling into recruitment. So I found an advert online for a trainee recruitment consultant with my company. I applied sort of just on a whim, to be honest, and then came in, got the role, and it was covering a lady's maternity cover. So I was really thrown in the deep end, to be honest. I had sort of a week with her to pick up the basics, and then I had to cover her clients and build my own desk alongside it. So I had about a year I worked as trainee consultant before I got promoted to consultant level. Then I went to senior consultant about a year later. Spent about a year and a bit doing that before I tried my hand at management within the company. And I'll be honest, the management route wasn't particularly for me. So after about a year at that, I went into a principal consultant route, which is much more focused on sort of leading by example and a focus on billing. And then recently, just a few weeks ago, actually, I've been promoted to partner and brand leader. So that's my new role.
Fantastic. Congratulations on your promotion. I know we connected last year, so that's absolutely amazing that you've been promoted recently. Can you talk us through what is HSC and Recruitment Network?
Okay, so it's Health, Safety and Environmental Recruitment. We're a very long-standing company. We've been going for about 14 years, obviously quite a specialist arena. So there's about 10 of us within the company, a variety of at consultant level, some senior consultants, management, and then myself at partner and brand leader level. And we do health and safety recruitment across all industries, UK-wide and internationally.
Brilliant. And I believe HSC is part of a larger group. Could you talk us through your larger group?
Yeah, that's right. So HSC Recruitment is actually part of Executive Network Group. So we have a director, Matt Ellis, who set up this part of the group quite a few years ago now. And we have a number of different brands within that, predominantly the health and safety brand. We have a network HR brand, so they do HR recruitment. We've also got a construction arm. We've got a facilities arm, and we've got a sales and equipment arm as well. So there's quite a few different areas here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I hadn't realised how many sort of areas you were in. So that's great to have that breadth. So as a partner, brand leader and contract specialist, what does your current role actually involve?
It involves a bit of everything, in all honesty. So the contract specialist, that's the billing aspect. So I recruit health and safety professionals on a contract basis, predominantly into manufacturing and service sectors. So it might be that you've got a manufacturing company that need a big risk assessment project doing, or they've got someone on long-term sick, or they're looking to get accredited to a safety standard, and they'll use one of my guys for a couple of months or something like that to get that work done. So that's the recruitment aspect of it. The partner and the brand leader aspect is very interesting, and that's the new bit that I've taken on. That's all about really being the face of the company. So it's about networking, it's about attending seminars, attending expos. We host a lot of our own events as well. And it's basically to make sure that we stay at the forefront of the safety world. We know exactly what's going on. We know exactly what the issues are that people face. And it makes sure that everyone within the team has the professional intelligence that we need to be able to help our clients properly.
Okay, that's really interesting. And two groups that you mentioned to me, was I believe it's HSC Leaders Connect, and you've also got a women's group. Can you talk us about those two groups and your involvement in those?
Yeah, of course. So HSC Leaders Connect is a new community that we've actually put together ourselves. the reason this came about is through all the you know, the seminars and the expos and the IOS groups that we attend, we noticed there's a lot of stuff out there for junior and sort of middle level safety professionals, in terms of helping them, you know, learn more about safety, helping them progress their careers. But there's not very much when you get to head of or director level. We wanted to set something up that would help you gain value as a leader, not just as a safety leader. So the group is by invitation only, you know, so it's quite exclusive. There's about 250 people within that community at the moment. And the benefit of being part of that community is we put on this year quarterly, although we're looking at doing monthly next year, quarterly seminars and networking events that will help add value to you as a leader. So we had our inaugural event in April in City Hall in London, which was fantastic. And that was hosted and sponsored by NCRQ. That was all based around developing good working relationships with HR, because it's something that safety professionals, you know, sometimes struggle with. So that was really, really interesting. And then we have one in Manchester this Thursday, which is all about well-being and whether it's an ethical or a commercial concern for you as a safety leader. So it's all that sort of added value stuff.
Oh, that's a good topic. That's a really interesting one.
It's very interesting, yeah.
And can you talk us about your women's group?
Yeah, so the women's group was actually something that was set up by UBM, and that was in conjunction with Health and Safety Week. So there's a lady called Roz, who's an editor over at UBM. Her and Heather Beach came up with this idea of getting a networking group together for women in the safety industry to really have an outlet to talk and share ideas, because it is still quite tough, I think, for women in the safety industry. There's not loads of them about. So they did the expo last year. They did their first women's event, and we had about 100 people turn up for that. They did one this year, which was really, really successful, and I think they had about 400 or 500 turn up for that one. So as part of that, we are responsible for hosting all of the Birmingham Women in Safety events. So we did one at the end of last year, which was really, really good. We had a lady from PepsiCo come along and talk about all their logistics safety issues, talk about their employee well-being concerns, because you obviously have people sat down for large periods of the time, and there's a lot of health concerns there. And to be honest, although it's a women's event, we do tend to end up just talking about general safety issues. I think it's more about knowing there are other women, you know, in the industry that you could turn to if you had any questions about that sort of thing. So we're looking to host several more of those events this year.
Fantastic. And yeah, when I think of sort of health and safety, environment and quality, which is the area you sort of specialize in, I do think of it as a more male industry. Is that something you find?
I do think so. Yeah. I mean, there are women within the industry, but I would say it is predominantly men. You're looking at probably 80-20, I would have thought. There are more and more women coming into the industry now, and that's where the Women in Safety Group came in, really. It was to encourage people to look at it as an option. You know, safety there is a role within most companies. So that's whether it's retail or whether it's theatre or whether it's high hazard stuff. But obviously it's more prevalent within the high hazard areas. So construction and manufacturing, and construction in particular, can be quite an intimidating area for women to go into. So you find definitely within the construction market, there are very, very few women doing safety. So that's something we're really trying to encourage and get more women to sort of consider it as a route for them. As part of the Women in Safety Group, Crossrail are very heavily involved, and they arranged a Crossrail safety visit for women a few months back that myself and a colleague attended. So that was basically any woman in safety, no matter what industry. So we had people from retail, from theatre, from corporate offices. They could come along to Crossrail, and they took us down into the Farringdon tunnels and all the expansion projects, so we could really see what construction and engineering was about. And that was quite eye-opening from a female perspective, because there was 90 people on site and just one woman on that project. So it's definitely quite male-dominated.
Yeah, especially something like that. And we were talking earlier, and you mentioned when you were on that day, which sounds really interesting, about safety equipment. Can you talk us about that further?
Yes. So there is a company called Arco who specialise in providing safety equipment and PPE. So that's things like your high-vis jackets,
high-vis trousers, steel-capped boots, hard hats, all of that sort of stuff. And they have just launched a range which is specifically aimed at women in safety. It was something that, to be honest, we hadn't considered as an issue until we went on the Crossrail project. But my colleague, Danielle, I hope she won't mind me saying this, but he's quite petite. And as a shorter petite lady, she really struggled wearing the men's PPE. She had trousers that were far too long for her that she had to roll up. They were far too wide around the waist, so she was trying to belt them. The jackets didn't fit, so she had to roll the sleeves up. And that in itself is, just isn't safe for you when you're on a site. So Arco have gone out and, yeah, designed a range specifically for women. So different heights, different sort of hip sizes, bust sizes, things that will actually fit you. And yeah, contrary to popular belief, is not pink either. That's all
normal colours. And it's amazing how when you say about the equipment, it's obvious that you would need different sizes. But until you're in that arena and kind of putting on male sizes, it's not till kind of, I suppose, those brands need to bring more equipment out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that I think companies are cottoning onto now, which is really good, because it's something that, although it sounds quite insignificant, is quite a big concern for women in that industry, and is sort of something that would stop you going into it. Because if you can't do your job safely, then that's kind of beside the point of being a safety officer. So I think hopefully this will help encourage more women into the industry as well.
Absolutely. And if women are thinking about getting into this sort of area, are there any skills in particular, other than the technical skills, that you see can help you get a job in this area?
Yeah, I think the way that the safety market is going is really probably aligning itself to getting more women into it. The safety stereotype has always been of sort of an old man with a clipboard, very technical, sort of just saying no to everything. And companies are really moving away from that now. They want to look at people that can engage the workforce. They want to look at people that can come up with behavioural based safety changes. And I think that's something that women are very good at. You know, they are more empathetic. They do tend to look at the reasons behind things. So I think it definitely would build on, you know, women's natural skills to sort of go into this area. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. What's helped you in your career to be successful?
I would say it's got to be tenacity from my perspective. I mean, I do recruitment, which, you know, at the end of the day is sales. And sales is also very male dominated. So you have to be quite tenacious. You've got to be able to stick with it and keep going. You have a lot of hard days where everything goes wrong, and you've got to be able to pick yourself up and keep going. I think I'm very lucky that the company I work for, both HSE Recruitment and Executive Network Group, are really, really accommodating of diversity. And we have probably, I would say, some of the best in Birmingham rates of men to women. We're probably about 50-50 in our office. So they're very encouraging, and they're you know, there's no glass ceiling or anything like that where we're working. They really encourage you to push your career as far as you can go.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
Definitely.
What are your top three career tips for women who want to be more successful in their career?
That's three. I had a conversation with a couple of the girls in the office about this, and we've boiled it down to the first one is really based around confidence. I think it can be quite difficult if you're the only woman, for example, going into a board meeting, to stand up and put your ideas forward. It can be quite intimidating. One of the women in safety events that we took part in recently was hosted by NEBOSH in Leicester. And there was a lady, Sue Cooper, who is the ex-HR director for WS Atkins. She came in and she was telling us about how women often don't push themselves forward and don't sort of brag about their accomplishments, because it makes them look a bit bullish, and it sometimes doesn't come across very well. Whereas men are always really confident and will stand up and say, look, I did this. It's brilliant. You know, give me praise for it. So that was something I really took away from that meeting, and I think has helped me get from where I was to this partner role, in that I am more willing now to be confident and stand up and say, you know, look, this is what I've done. And let's look at my role within the company and how I can do more with this. So confidence, definitely, number one. The second one is probably around having a thick skin. I mean, it is getting better in the workplace. You know, there is a lot more in terms of opportunities for women. And I would say, you know, the banter and the sexism isn't like it used to be at all, but you are going to come across it occasionally. And I think you do have to have a bit of a thick skin and be able to acknowledge when it's just joking, it's harmless, and when it's something that needs to be addressed. So that would be my second one, probably the thick skin element. And then the final one is just about utilizing your skills. You need to be able to self-assess. You need to be able to see what you're good at, what your strengths are. And particularly with women, as I mentioned earlier, I think we are more empathetic. We are very good at a listening point of view. So you should be able to identify that about yourself and see how you can use that again to your benefit within the company. So yeah, just utilizing your skills is a huge one. Those would be my three.
Thank you, Faith. I think those are three fantastic tips there. So thank you to you and your team of colleagues.
Just me.
So you mentioned earlier when you were talking about your career journey that you made the decision to move away from the management about a year ago. Can you talk us about how you made that decision? Because that, I would have thought, would be quite a big decision for someone.
It was a difficult decision. It was a big decision. Management was always something I was really keen on because I love my team here. I love all the junior consultants. I really believe in the brand and I wanted to help them progress. And I thought management was the way to do that. I think through that year I spent doing the management journey, I realized that perhaps my skill set lay more in the operational and the hands-on stuff. I'm quite good at sitting down with people and troubleshooting individual problems, or talking things through, or pointing them in the right direction, or doing all this branding work that I'm doing now. But perhaps the bigger picture stuff, you know, the strategy and things like that, wasn't where my skill set lay. My director was really, really good. He sat down with me quite regularly and he tried to sort of coach me from a management perspective. He gave us access to lots of training and things like that. But like I said, I think identifying what your skill set is and being very self-aware is hugely important. And it just got to a point where I thought I can be better used in this sort of brand leader role than in the management side of things.
Mm, and I would agree that, you know, fits nicely with your third tip, being self-aware. And I think if you're self-aware of your strengths and use those strengths, you're more likely going to probably enjoy your job and be successful.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's so, so important, I think, to enjoy your job as well. So I'm very lucky I work in a place where I do. I absolutely love coming to work. So.
And it shows that it's worked for you, having been promoted to partner and brand leader. So again, congratulations. Laura, we're kind of beginning to move to the end of our podcast. Before we ask the final question, can I ask, what's your book that you recommend for listeners to read this summer?
I have so many to pick from. I really struggled with this. I absolutely adore reading. But I think the one that I've boiled it down to is, it's an absolute classic. It's Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, which is just a feminist classic. Every woman should read it. It's a fantastic story, quite dystopian, but a really, really good read. That said, though, I have just got the new Harry Potter book, so I will be reading that over the next couple of days. I'll let you know if that's worth it as well.
And I'm glad that I'm the one answering this question, because I asked this question. It's the only question I ask on every podcast. And I'm like you, I'm an avid reader, and I would really struggle. So I'm quite glad I'm the one asking the question for everyone else. Where can people go to find more information about you and HSC and the women's group and the HSC Leaders Connect?
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm on LinkedIn, obviously, so I'm more than happy to accept connection requests if people want to go and find me on there. In terms of the HSC Recruitment Network, you can check out our website. So that's www.hserecruitment.co.uk. There'll be information on there about HSE Leaders. It's got all my contact information. So if you're interested in Leaders or in the women's group, then do get in touch with me and I can put you in touch with the right people for the women's group as well. Or you can have a look at the Executive Network Group website as well, which is www.ensales.co.uk.
Laura, thank you so much for your time today. And I really appreciate everything that you're doing in the health and safety space. And I really particularly like those three tips that you gave. So thank you very much for your time today.
No problems. Once again, thanks for having me.